It's already been said that it's good to be here this evening. I want to echo the words of appreciation that we shared. Say and appreciate all who've come this way. Agree that this is the first time that you may have been to Corinth. I want you to know that you're welcome. We've been here a number of times. I want you to know that you're welcome. Good to see the members are here. Seems like that there's continually something that's there in this world to keep us occupied. I appreciate so much those who put forth the effort to be at the house of the Lord, and I pray God will bless you. I hope that as you depart tonight, after the last amen is said, you walk out those doors. I hope that you can say, Lord, bless me for being there tonight. That you'll know that what that would do, that this is real, and that what that we're involved in here is on behalf of the true and the living God. There's so much that's taught and says, well, this is what that God wants, or so much is said, this is what God has said, but God's not in those things. And when those walk away from those type of services, what you walk away is with words that you have heard, and perhaps you got some ideas, but really the Spirit of God was not involved in that. So it's different. You know there's something missing. So I hope that as we depart tonight that you'll know that you've been at the house of the Lord and He blessed you for your presence. Thank you for your prayers last night as we departed. We ask that we all be careful to pray. I trust you. I have confidence in you. We expressed concern about praying, remembering the service. Not only the member of the service tonight, but those who were at service last night who actually get part, and I have confidence in you that you did. And if you're here tonight and you're lost, I hope that the things which have been on your heart since you heard those last night, I hope that they cause you to be deeply concerned that indeed these are eternal matters that we're dealing with. The devil, he is real as well as God is. And he's not going to let it alone. He's not going to give things up. He is going to try to confuse and try to keep our minds away from what they ought to be on. He's going to try to upset and make us think that we have just cause and just reason to ignore the things of God. That should indeed tell us again, cause us to be so alarmed and so certain that the things we deal with, the things we're talking about, that they're real and very important. If the devil's that concerned about them, they must be important. So we want to invite your attention to some thoughts. Scripture we're going to read, we've been trying to get settled on some thoughts from the Word of God that we might consider and ask just what it is that the Lord might help us to do. Consider tonight, and we find a number of things on our mind, on our heart. We might read out of the book of James, but we're not going to stay in the book of James. The book of James, and in chapter 1, the thought that's on our heart comes from the 5th, 6th, 7th verses, 8th verse, where these scriptures say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Another verse of scripture that you might consider with me, if you just flip over to the 4th chapter, is in the 2nd verse of the 4th chapter. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. That's the 4th chapter of the book of James, out of 4th chapter, 2nd and 3rd verse. Might also flip over into the book of Mark. If you want to start heading to Mark chapter 11, I'm going to bring a couple of points out of the book of James here. Is that the Bible here told us in the Bible? We're said, we're told, ask of God. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. But then over in the fourth chapter, it says, if you don't have these things, you don't have because you don't ask. And then you ask and you don't receive because you ask to satisfy your lust. Remember that rich man we talked about last night? About desiring and craving the things of the world and then acquiring the things of the world. There's lots in the world. Knowledge. Standing. Social standing. There are a number of things in the world. Not just material things. This man acquired those things of the world but died and went to hell. Because he wasn't, he never got the gift from God. So in Mark in chapter 11 and verse 24, notice this, the Lord said this. He said, therefore I say to you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Notice, he says, believe, when you ask, believe that you'll have them and they'll be given to you. Now that's the same point that James is making out of James chapter 1. If you lack wisdom, now he's talking to God's people here. And he's saying to God's people, if you lack wisdom, you know, really one of the things we got to do before that we can see that we need to ask for wisdom is we've got to be humble enough. Those who are full of pride will never make this prayer. They think they've already got wisdom. They're not honest enough to see that the wisdom that's needed comes from God. And so they're not humble enough to admit that they need this that comes from God. This one says to God's people, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. But when you ask, ask believing. Because he that is double-minded, he that is wavering, and when he asks, don't think that they're going to receive anything of the Lord. Don't think that when you, if you waver as you come to God, or as there in, notice there in Mark 11, when you ask, ask believing, and you shall receive it. So what comes, what's the common thread here? The common thread here is faith. The common thread through all of these examples, through all this teaching is coming to God, believing in God, trusting God. I would like then with this in front of us to, let's think of some examples out of the Word of God. If you would, turn with me to Mark 5 if you'd like. Mark 5, we read about a woman beginning in verse 25. We read about her in the book of Luke, read about her in the book of Matthew. Mark comes to our mind. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, we read about a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. She is sick. She had this ailment of her flesh, of her body. She suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better but grew worse. So I set before you this woman. You see her being sick. She'd been sick 12 years. She had this ailment for 12 years. She sought the help of physicians. Over this 12-year period, and I don't know what she started with in 12 years. Over 12 years period of time, she may have had land. She may have had property. She may have had many possessions, whatever she had. Over a 12-year period, she spent all of it trying to get better. Going to the physicians, but she was nothing better. I want to set her out here before you, and I'd like to add somebody else to the category. And that's how over in, this would be easy. You can put your finger there in Mark, and if you'll flip over to Luke chapter 18, the end of chapter 18, and the beginning of chapter 19 lets us bring two more out on the stage here with us, out here before, so we can consider them. Because all these are pictures, there are explanations the Lord gave us of what he means when he says, if you want to receive of him, ask in faith. These are examples of this. So we have this woman. She's one. Another one is found on the side of the road. In Luke and in chapter 18, we read about him beginning in verse 35. Came to pass, this speaking of Jesus, when he come nigh to Jericho, this last one, the Lord is coming up to Jericho. He passes through Jericho. On the way to Jericho, he meets one man, and when he is passing through Jericho, he meets another man. Two instances of faith are described for us here. It came to pass that as he come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. So the second man, you notice him sitting there by the wayside begging. He is blind. Couldn't see. In his condition, being blind, couldn't see. He's sitting here by the wayside, and I don't know how many days he'd done that. We don't find how old that he is, but he is a man. He wasn't a child. And as a man, no telling how long, the only way that he was making a living at all, to have anything, he was begging. He was dependent on the mercy of others for them to give to him so that he could have. You think about how hard it is to get something to eat. You get pretty hungry being blind if somebody didn't have mercy on you. So he's sitting out here in a way out next to the road where the people are at. And as he's sitting there, he starts hearing this noise. These people are making, you know, you think about, close your eyes, and you think about what it must be like. You're used to the noise of the day. You're used to what the normal commotion, the normal traffic sounds like, and all of a sudden it gets louder. There's something's not normal going on. And when this not normal's going on, it causes enough interest in him that he says, hey, what's going on? And somebody tells him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So here's our second one. So he's joining this woman who has been sick for 12 years, spent all that she's had, and has grown nothing better. And we're going to continue to read, and she has heard about Jesus. And there's a large crowd around Jesus. So here she is in her condition. She's heard about Jesus. Here's this blind man sitting beside the road, and he hears this crowd, and he says, what does this mean? And they say, Jesus is coming by. We're going to read about this third one in the 19th chapter. In the 19th chapter, we find a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, this says that Jesus, he entered and passed through Jericho. So as he's passing through Jericho, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He's in a different state. He's rich. And he sought to see Jesus. Here he was. And he could not for the press because he was of little stature. So here's this man, Zacchaeus. Now, I'm only 5'11". My mom's 5'2", and I've got an aunt that's about 4'11". And lots of times we'd be in a crowd. We'd go out somewhere or another and be in a crowd. And I remember when I got a little older, I used to say to her, so would you like for me to tell you what's going on in here? Because I knew she couldn't see what was going on because she was short. Zacchaeus, he was in that situation. He'd heard about Jesus, but he couldn't see. He was rich. You think about it, he was rich, he was a publican, he was in the tax collecting business. Think about these men who are like this. We read about Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus, he was in a position where other people worked for him. He had acquired a lot of money. He was wealthy. People worked for him. But on this occasion, he hears about Jesus. And he wanted to see him. But because of his situation, he couldn't. So all three of these, this woman who is sick, this man who's blind, and this rich man, all three of these, we're going to find that through faith, they found Jesus. Now Jesus, in his situation, he's in a crowd with this woman. He is being mobbed. You know, now y'all at school, young people, y'all know what it is like being in high school. I worked in school a lot, lots of years. Daniel here, he teaches in high school, Brother Dad. You've been in crowds where that people in the crowd, they're trying to move along, and like going down a hallway, changing class. People are moving. And it seems like that as you're moving in that group, how hard it is, you just about have to fall in step with the crowd to just keep moving along. But you think about this woman. She wasn't blind, she was sick for 12 years. Think how weak she must have been. 12 years. She'd been in this position, she had this issue of blood, she had to be weak of body. But Jesus, being where he was at, people were throwing and pushing against him and bumping from every direction.
But this woman we read about here in Mark and in chapter 5, it says, and she heard about Jesus. She came into the press. She came through the crowd, and what she said was, if I can just touch, notice this. She heard about it. She said, if I can touch him, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. That's verse 28. If I can get to him just enough that I can touch his clothes, she'd already heard about Jesus. And she believed that if she could just get to him, that she could be made whole. She could be cured. He could help her. But notice then, but she had more than just a mental thought about Jesus. Number one, she had to have heard about Jesus. She had to have heard about Jesus. Number two, she had to not only believe that Jesus was real, but she had to believe that if she could get to him, he could change her. And just as every individual who's found the Lord, she had to go through the press, if he was. She had to overcome things to get to Jesus. The devil is going to make sure that there's going to be some opposition. He's going to be there to bring doubt. He's going to bring there to try to discourage, to try to talk you out of it. You know, there's been times that I've just flat out missed blessings from the Lord because I let the devil talk me out of it. The Lord's promises were right there, and I believe the devil. I heard what the devil had to say. He offered enough doubt. I believed him, and I missed out. It wasn't the Lord's fault I didn't get the blessing. The fault was I listened to the old devil. Well, here's this sick woman. She heard about Jesus. She did more than just hear about him. She, when he was passing by, she made the approach. And when she made the approach through the press, she got out there. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. You know, there's a lot about her that you find in this blind man. Think about this blind man. Now, this blind man we read about in Luke in chapter 18, he's sitting by the side of the road. Now, think about being blind. What had he seen? What had he witnessed personally about what Jesus had done? Now, how far do you think that man could travel? They didn't have automobiles. He couldn't catch a taxi to go to the next town. That man had a very small sphere of where he lived at, where he existed at. He had heard about Jesus, though. He'd heard what Jesus had done for others. Maybe even somebody in his family had actually been blessed by Jesus. But the thing is that he knew when Jesus passed by, he heard enough about him that he, when Jesus was in the area, what did he start doing? Read right here. It says that when this man come by and he asked what it meant. They told him Jesus of Nazareth passed by. He cried out saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now I'll tell you what he said about Jesus right there. Jesus, thou son of David. Now that means a lot to a Jew. What that had come down through history was that the son of David, an offspring of David. David was a king in Jerusalem. David had been promised the whole nation of Israel. And in promising the whole nation of Israel, God promised the whole world that God was going to send his son through David. And so for him to say, Jesus, thou son of David, he's acknowledging something. He's saying, this is more than just some man. This, what he heard about Jesus, caused him to believe that Jesus was the very Son of God, that God had promised the world was going to come, and he called out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. But get this about this man. Listen to what happened. Remember that woman? That woman, now she saw Jesus, she heard Jesus coming by, saw the crowd, and here was all this crowd, and she had enough belief in Jesus that she pressed through the crowd. She went through the resistance and didn't give up until she got to Jesus. This one, he called out, he said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before him, they said that he should hold his peace. So here he is. He said, so what's happening? What's happening? What's all this mean? They said, well, Jesus is coming by. He said, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on me. And those that told him, they said, shh, keep it down. Hold your peace. But what does he do? He calls out so much the more. Those told him. So he started out, Jesus, imagine that you're blind and you're yelling to try to get somebody's attention. And when you yell the first time, if he's right here in front, right here, by the time you get through yelling and somebody says, keep your peace down, guess what he's doing? He's getting away. He's passing by. So what does he do? He yells out so much the more. He started out this one. Jesus, have mercy on me. And they said, just keep it down. He said, ignoring them, Jesus. He gets louder. Jesus, have mercy on me. And guess what happens? Jesus stopped. He got his attention. Let's take this third case. So here, don't forget we got three. We have this woman that's sick. We've got this man that's blind. And then we got this short little rich man. Well, this short little rich man, Zacchaeus, here he is. I bet he was dressed better than I'm dressed tonight. That man is rich. He had an office. He was the chief of the publicans. He was dressed for his position. Y'all seen these? I think a lot of times, you know, out on the farm, just by the nature of animals, we used to call these fellas like these little baby roosters. You ever seen a little baby rooster strut around? And he's the littlest rooster in the bunch, a little old baby rooster. They got these big white roosters and big games roosters, big ones. Nothing strutted like a little baby rooster. And man, and when he would crow, he crowed the loudest. He was the loudest chicken out around the farm. And this little fella, that's what I think of, like a little baby rooster dressed up. And boy, when the baby rooster stepped out, he made more noise. He made more noise. And if the kids were out there and they were going to get flogged, that one that's going to flog him be that little baby rooster. He wanted to make sure everybody knew he was a rooster. You know it? That's what I picture when I think about Zacchaeus. Now here he was. Here he was out here at Jericho. But all of a sudden, guess what happened in his life? He got up. I wonder who when he got up that day, what he thought was going to be going on. He'd get ready another day at the office. Get up and get dressed. Get down to the office. We got money to collect. And he's got people working for him. Got to make sure everybody's out doing their job. But then all of a sudden, here came Jesus. Wait a minute. Here comes Jesus. And he hears about, wonder what all he'd heard tonight in his position. Imagine some of the talks that he must have had. People talking about people who had been healed. People who had, in this case, on this specific day, the noise that was coming, there was a blind man back down this road that Zacchaeus was on. There was a blind man, a man who was a beggar, who had just had an encounter. He got a hold of Jesus, and this man Jesus was such that when this beggar got a hold of him just right, that this Jesus stopped and it took time for a beggar. Now you don't talk about somebody with a busy calendar, Jesus Christ. But he wasn't too busy that he didn't have time for a beggar. This man, this little baby rooster looking man, he hears of this Jesus coming up the road, and guess what he does? He's short, he can't even see. All forms and all formalities, he drops all those forms and formalities, and he takes off running. Jesus is coming, and he runs to get out on the road, get out in front of him, and climbs a tree. Think about this. What are those people going to think about him who works for him? What about all of these people around who have been giving their taxes? Big bad tax collector. Big bad, I've got the power of Rome behind me. Mess with me, I'll sick the law on you. What does he do? He drops all forms, all formalities, and climbs a tree. Takes off running. He don't walk fast. I wonder if he's holding something. If he did, he had to throw her down and took off running to get out in front, get to a tree, and climb the tree. Why? Because Jesus is coming by. And I want you to know, when Jesus is coming by, We need to drop everything that we're doing and get serious. This is the Son of God. This is the one who in that all of our history, all the history of mankind. You know, if you heard Alexander the Great was coming by and all he'd done, you'd want to run out and see that man. You'd want to change everything you're doing to go see that man. But this Jesus, he is God, absolutely God, who united absolutely perfectly with mankind. The God-man, the Savior, the one who through him all life for us has come, the life giver, the Son of God. Now, get this. When that woman who had that issue of blood and her condition spent all she had, when she got down to, I just want to touch the hem of his garment. I notice in Mark 5, the scripture says, when she reached through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, he stopped. And he said, who touched me? Who touched me? Everybody was thronging him. Multitudes were touching him on every. He was being pushed and bumped. But then all of a sudden he stopped and said, who touched me? Somebody reached out and touched him in a different way than with what the old hand was able to touch. That man sitting on the side of the road, people are yelling and making noise. They're yelling and making noise as he is passing by. But this beggar, when he yells out just right, Jesus stopped and said, and looked over and said, call him to me. Everybody said, hold your peace now. He's calling for you. He's calling for you. When he's walking along, these people in all these different places and locations, and he gets to Zacchaeus, he stops. He looks up into that tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down, Zacchaeus. What is it about these three that they stop, that Jesus stops and says, somebody touch me. Stops and says, call that beggar over here. Looks up at Zacchaeus and says, Zacchaeus, you got my attention. I want you to know that the same thing that those three found is what all of us who've been saved, that's what we found. When we came to Jesus, we came through faith. Jesus has guaranteed, he's promised the whole world over that if we would come in faith, faith opens the door to Jesus. Faith opens the door to Jesus. He stops for those who are sick. He stops for those who are blind. He stops if they're beggars. He stops if they're rich. If thou come in faith, faith opens the door. Me, a little old, I've been pulling weeds out on the farm. The breeches that I was wearing that night I was sitting over there in that church come from Montgomery Ward. The catalog. I was either Montgomery Ward or Sears. We had two catalogs. It really got popular back then. We had multiple choices. And the shirts, a lot of the tops I wore, my mom made me. Lots of times I seen her cutting the pattern out. And if my mom didn't make it, my aunt made it because I just had one cousin older than me. And she sold his clothes too. And the hand-me-downs, what he outgrew, I got. But that night, when I was sitting in that church house and I felt Jesus, I entered into the catalog. You could say, for there was this woman who was sick. There was this beggar. There was this rich man. And there was an eight-year-old boy. Eight-year-old boy sitting back in the church house. Knew he was lost, but when he sought the Lord with all his heart, Jesus stopped and talked to him too. And each of you can join. Those of you who found the Lord, you can stand and say, and I am in that line. And I join that number. And anybody here who has not found Jesus can too. Join the line if you come the same way. But what does that scripture say? Any who like wisdom, let him come to God and ask of God. But you got to ask in faith, nothing doubting, nothing wavering. Yeah. Jesus said, those of you who don't have, if you desire, ask in faith and you'll have what you desire. But you can't doubt. Doubt. If that blind man would have doubted, let's say when he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And those people said, hold your peace. And he went, oh, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. Jesus would have went on by. And that man would have sat there. That woman who was sick, been sick 12 years. She'd have been sick 13 years, 14 years. The years would have passed on, and she would have died in that condition. If she hadn't have been willing to push through the crowd, maybe somebody elbowed her. Maybe somebody stepped in her way. But she needed to get to Jesus. She did more than believe with the mind. She believed with the heart, and she pressed on. What about little Zacchaeus? What if he had remembered, here comes Jesus. What if he had said, wait a minute, people might be looking. If he had said that, and not took off, got in that tree the way he did, had that kind of interest in the Lord, Jesus would have went on by. Lost friend, I want you to know, are you going to let Jesus get by you? Jesus is close by. He says, seek me while I may be found. And he warns us. The devil, when these messages come out, the devil is just like a bird. You ever seen a bird after something out on the ground? It falls and it hits the ground. The bird's after trying to get it and get it away, take it away. The Lord uses that very same picture to illustrate how the devil works on people. He's working right here tonight, trying to get this message out of your mind and out of your heart. Because if you believe it and you act like Zacchaeus, you act like that blind man, you act like that woman, and you come to the Lord, he knows when the Lord gets you in his hand, the devil can never get you out. He loses you. If you look through faith, if you through faith would come to the Lord, your faith, it's not my faith, it's not the faith of Brother Daniel, not the faith of anybody here, but you through faith, if you would open that door, Christ is waiting. That rich man, he wasn't ashamed to run and climb a tree. Would you be ashamed to come to a bench to find Jesus? That rich man, he dropped everything. And he put down all formalities. He wasn't a little baby rooster crowing out in the barnyard. He put everything aside, dropped all that, and he didn't care who saw him up that tree. He was trying to see Jesus. If you're here tonight and you're lost, as we get a song right here, would you be willing to come and seek the Lord at this bench right here? Zacchaeus wasn't afraid to climb a tree. He wasn't ashamed to climb a tree. Maybe you got too much of that little baby rooster in you. Too much. So that you're not willing to come to a bench. Come to seek the Lord. Won't you come and seek the Lord while we stand and sing? Let's all stand. Go ahead and sing.
You are worthy, Heavenly.